Wonderful. Well, you may be seated. Good evening, All Saints. It is a joy to be with you in person and to those of you watching online. I want to thank you, Steve and Jenny, for having me speak tonight and also making me and my family, Lisa, our two girls, so welcome. You've been a wonderful blessing to us since we've moved into the area, but I also believe and know that you're a tremendous blessing to this community. And I'm excited for you as a family, but also for us as a church. I believe that there are even greater days ahead. Anyone else believe that? I'm glad I came to church tonight. That's good. Well, I have a word on my heart, which I believe is going to bless and help you this evening. But before we get into it, I need to let you know that I am a little bit loud. And you may have picked that up already. Old Tony up there, bless his heart, he might have to turn me down. But I'm ready to go, and I want to say a prayer, and then we'll get into the Word this evening. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I pray that as this Word goes forth, that every man, woman, and child, under the sound of my voice, will leave this service different to the way they came in, or whether they're watching this online. I ask that minds will be renewed, that hearts will be transformed, that souls will be refreshed. Father, I ask that you will have your way in this place this evening. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, the title of my message is this. If you're taking notes, it's good to take notes in church. If it's on your phone, put it on airplane mode too. But this is the title. God hears the humble heart. God hears the humble heart. No one likes being humbled. When I was in my first year at Bible college in Australia, things were going well. I was making friends, getting good results. I had favor with the teachers. And I remember thinking, well, this Bible college stuff isn't too hard. This is okay to me. But not wanting to get ahead of myself, I remember praying to God on one Tuesday evening that he would keep my feet on the ground and humble me. The very next day, at a chapel service, where between 700 and 800 students and staff gathered, they were there in attendance, the principal of the Bible college got up to deliver a sermon. As he got down from the stage to drill home a certain point, he asked a simple question to everyone and then put the microphone in my hand to answer it. However, this was not my moment to shine. For some reason, my mind had wandered off in that very moment. And I could see everyone in my peripheral vision putting their hand up, desperate to give the answer to what was a very obvious question. However, with nowhere to turn, I stuttered and fumbled over my words, and to my embarrassment in front of everyone, I had to concede that I did not know the answer. If ever I wanted the ground to open up and swallow me, it was then. Straight after that service, I went to the principal and I apologized for my lack of concentration before sprinting home, slamming shut my bedroom door and asking God, why? Why did you let that happen to me in front of so many people? And it was then when he reminded me of that prayer I had prayed the night before. It was a character building lesson that I've never forgotten. And it's also a prayer I hope that I never have to pray again. Turn with me, if you could, if you brought your Bibles this evening. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18, for this will be our passage of text tonight. And I'll give you a few seconds to get there. The book of Luke is sandwiched between Mark and John. And on my Bible, it's on page 679. How's that, Steve? Is that helpful? Steve told me to help you, so just doing that. So let me read it to you. It says this, and it's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, the robbers, the evildoers, the adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So here Jesus tells us a simple yet powerful story about a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisees were seen by the society as high and mighty, the elite, spiritually speaking, of the nation. They were very much righteous in their own eyes, whereas the tax collectors were viewed as the complete opposite. They were the lowest of the low. They were despised by many and were extremely unpopular. To many, they were the unrighteous. So for Jesus to put these two types of people in the same group as he went to share this parable would have been a shock to those listening. But he was just getting warmed up. Now, this Pharisee was probably a decent man. We know that he devoted his life to his faith. We know that he fasted twice a week. We know that he tithed, which means he gave 10% of his income to the temple. He ticked all the right boxes. Everything looked good on the outside. But here lied the issue that Jesus was wanting to draw everyone's attention to. You can dress well. You can say the right things. You can be connected to the right people. Your life can look perfect on the outside, but I wonder what is the true condition of your heart. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting that we don't try to live our life in exemplary ways. We should. But our motivation should not be to appear more holy than thou or to gain approval from other people. Our external actions should be a reflection of our internal and personal relationship with God. Beautifully worded prayers mean nothing if the heart behind them contains self-righteousness or no real faith or humility. The Pharisee stood up and prayed brazenly about himself. It was a look at me type of prayer. Look how good I am. Look at all the things I've accomplished. Look at all what I've achieved. How great am I? There was a confidence, a display of self-importance attached to his words. And to further highlight his pretension, he even had the audacity to compare himself to others, pushing their existence down whilst trying to give the impression to others in earshot that he was perfect. This is no way to pray or to get God's attention. Proverbs 16:5 says that the Lord detests all the proud of heart. There is something very unattractive about arrogance and pride. And I'm sure we all know people that exhibit these unfortunate traits. And I can guarantee that they are not on your Christmas list. I can guarantee it. I mean, who would you rather spend time with? Someone that is humble or someone that is arrogant? The answer is very simple. Now, I'm not a big movie man, but I do enjoy watching films that are based on a true story. The ones that move and influence me most are always the ones which involve a humble hero. Someone that didn't chase the limelight, but had a pure motivation to succeed in whatever they were called to do. Where the integrity of their heart matched the ambitions of their actions. I'll be 37 years of age this year. I know I don't look that old, I know. And I've been in ministry since I was 21 years old. And over the years, I've met many pastors and leaders from all over the world. On one occasion, I got to have dinner with a very well-known evangelist who actually passed away just last week. And he'd seen millions of people come to Christ through his ministry. And we spoke about preaching and teaching and how to do ministry with a family and life. And he gave me some sound advice. But it wasn't his knowledge or experiences that impressed me most. It was his humility. He was genuine, interested, and sincere. It was inspiring to see that the person I had seen in public was the same person I encountered in private. I wanted to be in his presence. That one encounter made such a lasting impact on me. Humility is attractive. Arrogance is not. And this is where the Pharisee in our story fell short. He was good on the outside, but not so good in the middle. A bit like a chocolate licorice. Great on the outside, but terrible in the middle. And I'm sorry if I offended some of you, including my dad, who I think is watching this tonight. He loves chocolate licorice. I'm praying for him. Now, I'll talk more about the Pharisee in just a moment. But who I really want to focus on in the few minutes I have left is the tax collector, the tax man. Now, although there are similarities between these two men, both would have walked up those same set of steps as they went into the temple. Both were there at the same time to pray. Both were sinners. There was a difference. The Pharisee came to the temple to make an appearance, whereas the taxman came to make a request. The taxman, he didn't have it all together. He didn't know the protocols. He didn't have the education or the knowledge of Scripture like the Pharisee did, but he did have a humble heart. Oh friend, if you ever want to get God's attention, if you ever want to see your prayers answered, if you ever want to see God do the impossible with your life, then you need to come before Him with a humble heart. Now you may say, well Luke, that sounds great, but what does that actually mean? Well, I'm not talking about being self-deprecating. I'm not talking about putting yourself down. I'm not talking about being excessively modest. Being humble means that you can acknowledge your need of God. It means acknowledging your need of God, that you cannot live without Him. True humility admits that I don't have it all. I don't know it all. I don't understand it all, but I need You, Lord. C.S. Lewis once said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. I'll say that again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Now I recognize that that's a lot easier to say than do. And the tax collector demonstrates this too. For in verse 13, it says that he stood at a distance and he couldn't even look up. An indication of his respect and reverence of God, yes, but also a sign that he felt unworthy to be in the presence of God. How can I, an unclean man, look into the eyes of a divine, holy, and pure God? And maybe that's how some of you feel tonight with your relationship, in your relationship with God. You want to pray. You want to do His will. You want to live the life that Christ has called you to live, but due to your mistakes, your regrets, your history, you feel unworthy to reach out to Him. Perhaps some of you are burdened with a crushing sense of guilt and shame that you've messed up too many times for God to forgive you, for God to love you, for God to use you. Oh, it can be easy to think that God doesn't want to hear from us when we do wrong. It is also perfectly normal to want to run from Him or hide from Him when we sin or miss the mark. But that is not what God wants. God does not want you standing at a distance. God wants you to come to Him, to come into His presence as you are. Hebrews 4:16 says that we are to boldly come to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Wow. Wow. Did you hear that? In other words, you're not to run from Him when you slip up, fall down, or feel of less value. His word says that you are to run to Him, to run into His presence. Jesus even said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." James 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God. Draw near to God, and He will." Not He may do. Not He'll think about it. Not come back next week and try again. He says, "Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you." Now, you may not know what to say to Him, but that's okay. When you pray to God, come to Him like the child you are. You don't need to be eloquent in speech. You don't need to hide behind a facade or pretend to be a better version of yourself. God is not looking for perfection. God is looking for humility. You're not supposed to have it all together before you come to God. It is okay to be broken. It is okay to be hurting. It is okay to be in trouble. For 2 Corinthians 12:9, our verse of the year says, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Oh, there is something powerful about humbly coming to God to present your needs, your petitions, and your requests. So stop dwelling on and rehearsing yesterday's mistakes. Stop listening to those lies inside of your head that God has finished with you. Stop saying that there is no hope for me anymore. No, take your burdens, take your guilt, take your worries to the Lord, for nothing shocks Him. Nothing shocks God. Yes, your life may be in a mess right now, but I know this, God would rather have you in a mess than not have you at all. God would rather have you in a mess than not have you at all. Remember, God sees all you do. He sees the good. He sees the bad. He sees the ugly. Yet He loves you anyway. Oh, and that's something to smile about. He loves you. God loves you. He loves you more than you will ever understand. He demonstrated His love in a way which staggers. It staggers the human imagination. The Bible says that we live in a state of separation from God because we, mankind, willfully turned our backs on Him and chose to live life our way instead of God's way. This is what the Bible means by sin. But the Bible also says that despite this separation between humanity and God, God still loves us. He yearns to forgive us and bring us back into relationship with Him. So God made a way to do that. He made a way to fix that disconnect. He sent His Son Jesus Christ, the only perfect man to ever walk the earth, to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. He took it to the cross. He was crucified on a cross. And there he took your sin, your shame, your guilt. He took it to the grave. But the Bible boldly declares 3 days later, the grave could hold him no more. And Jesus Christ would rise from the dead. And in doing so, he would smash through the chains of sin, he would break through the bonds of death, and he would make a way. He would make a way for you and I to be forgiven, to be loved and accepted. He made a way that should we believe in him, that we would get to spend all eternity with our Father in heaven. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Those watching online today, tonight, later in the week, he loves you. Oh, the tax collector. He went home justified, free, and made whole because of the love and mercy of God. Mercy basically means that we don't get the punishment we deserve. And Jesus certainly demonstrated that by his death on the cross. If that's not love, then I don't know what is. Friend, we're all sinners. We can't deny that. All we can do is be like the tax collector and recognize our own need for mercy. Because without mercy, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unlike this Pharisee, we should understand that everyone sins and needs forgiveness. We are not better than others, even if we do keep the rules and do lots of good works. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And if we come before him with a humble heart, acknowledging our need of him, then God hears our prayers and promises. Not Luke Brendling promises, God. God promises that you will be lifted out of darkness. You will be washed clean. You will be made whole. You will be set free. You will be promoted to a place of honor. And you will be exalted to heavenly places in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I finish, I'm just getting excited. I can preach all night because I love Jesus. But whenever I talk about Jesus, I always want to give people an opportunity to make your peace with God, to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your heart. Maybe you've never made this decision before. Perhaps this is the first time you've come to church and thinking, what am I doing here, listening to that guy? Maybe you've never made this decision before, but you know tonight something is stirring on your insides. Or perhaps once upon a time, you did say yes to Jesus, but you know you're not living the life he's called you to live. You've backslidden, you've fallen away. But tonight you know you've got to get right with him again. And you need to invite Jesus into your life. Friend, I've already told you the good news, that through Christ's death on a cross and resurrection from the grave, he made a way for you and I to be forgiven and accepted. He has given us the gift of salvation. It is a gift that cannot be bought, it cannot be earned, it cannot be worked for. It is a gift that is freely received by repenting of your sins, which means say sorry to God and turn towards him. It means reaching out in faith and asking Jesus to come alive on the inside of you. And so if I'm speaking to you tonight, whether you're in this building or whether you're watching online right now, I would love the privilege of leading you through a simple prayer of faith to invite Jesus to come alive in you. So here's what we're going to do. I would like every head bowed and every eye closed right now. No one needs to be looking around. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to call you to the front tonight. This isn't about me and you. This is between you and God. But I want to lead you through a prayer. And I want every single person to repeat this after me, even if you have prayed this before. But if you haven't, if you've never said this, and this is that you're making that decision tonight, I'm just going to count to three. And if I'm speaking to you, I want you to lift your hand. As I said, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you to the front. I just want to see who I'm praying for. Here we go, on three. One, two, three. That's it. Just lift your hands. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say a prayer. And I want every single person, even if you didn't raise your hand, to pray this after me tonight. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Today, I come to you and I ask you to come into my heart and to forgive me from my sins. I ask that you would use me as a follower of Christ to make your name known all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can look up now. You know, may I be the first person to congratulate you if you made that decision tonight. It's the best decision you will ever make. I saw God come into my life at 20 years old. My life has never been the same since. And I know in just a moment Steve's going to come up and tell you what to do next. But can I encourage you, if you did make that decision, to grab yourself a Bible, to start reading His Word, to come along to church. If you're watching online and you're not in this area, find a church that's preaching Jesus. The Bible, His Word, and the local church is what's going to help you grow and move forward in your relationship with God. Wonderful. It's awesome. Best decision you'll ever make. But before I finish, would it be all right, Steve, if I just pray for everyone? You know, as I said, arrogance, pride, and shame, it will keep you out of the goodness of God. Authenticity, honesty, and humility is what gets God's attention. And perhaps for some of you tonight, you feel that burden, you feel that sense of guilt or shame. I just want to pray God's blessing, God's favor, God's mercy, God's goodness over your life. So just bow your heads and let me just pray for you before I finish. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that there is tremendous power in your word. And Lord, I want to lift up every person here right now. Lord, I don't know what they're dealing with. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what fights they find themselves in, but I do know this. You are a good God, full of grace and mercy. And I pray right now, Lord, that your grace and mercy will wash over every person. Lord, I pray that you will set people free. I pray that you will heal broken hearts. I pray that you will restore to those that have lost things, that things will be restored back to fullness in your mighty name. Lord, we cast aside that guilt, we cast aside that shame, and we come boldly into your presence tonight. I ask that your loving arms will wrap around every single person. May they leave this place different to the way they came in. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 God bless you, church. Thank you.